The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to get passionate about sports talk. This is Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. These two talk with the experts and are the experts when it comes to what's hot, what's next, and what will be in the sports world. Let's get this show on the road. Here's Luther and Micah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another very special episode of Cheap Shots. I'm Micah Warren, along with the man of the hour, Luther Broughton. Luther, what's
up?
Whoa! Yeah, you all ready?
Not much. I am. I'm not the man of the hour, however.
All right. Well, we got a lot to get to.
Muhammad on the show tonight. That's the man of the hour.
That's right. We got Musin Muhammad, former Panther, former Bear. Did he play with other teams? He was a Panther and a Bear.
Just Panthers and Bear.
He was an excellent wide receiver, and he'll be joining us in the second act of our show. In the meantime, Luther, you want to talk a little NFL?
Yeah, I want to touch on something that I just heard about.
Okay.
ESPN is reporting on Michael Sam's shower habits. This is out of hand.
But it's like positive. Another Rams defensive player told me that Sam is respecting our space.
What the hell is that?
He's kind of
waiting
to take a shower as not to make his teammates feel uncomfortable.
But are you kidding me? So why does your fat ass think that the guy, because he's gay, is interested in you? Just right. Because he's gay, he doesn't like every single guy. What makes you think he's interested in your nasty ass? I'm sorry. Like, why are we reporting this? I love Chris Long's tweet. Dear ESPN, everyone but you is over it. Love it.
Yeah, you know what it sounds like to me? What I got from this report is that he's a respectful human being who's mindful of the situation and doesn't want to put any undue stress on it. So he's a good dude, okay.
So he's a good dude, but what? He's gay. Fine. He can still take a shower. Whatever, man. This dude is gay. He's not a freak. He's not some porn freak who's in the locker room trying to nail everybody. The guy's gay. So what? Oh, my God. Why? We can't be reporting on Michael Sam's shower habits. We can't. This is ridiculous. We just can't do this.
I'll give him this one as a pass, but we got to stop here. I get it. So what I get from this is he's mindful of the situation and trying not to make anyone uncomfortable. Cool dude.
That's fine. And if I were him, I would take a freaking shower when I'm sweaty and nasty. That's crazy, man. Well, just take a shower. Why are we talking? This is a freaking shower routine, man. Come on.
You've been dying to know. I know you have. But you know what? On the other side of that, Luther, that stuff aside, he looks like he's all right. He might make that team.
Oh, he does look like he's all right. I didn't think he had a chance to make the team with that strong defensive line that they have. Right. But he's been playing pretty well in the preseason. Mind you, we haven't seen all of his game film. We're critiquing off of highlights. But whatever. That's what we do. He's looked good. He's gotten to the quarterback, and that's what they asked the defensive end to do. He's gotten to the quarterback.
Yeah, and that's all you really – I mean, think about it, Luther. If you go as a defensive end, if you get whooped the entire game, but you get to the quarterback twice, you had a great game.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, at least we're not talking about Johnny Foosball this week.
Looked a little better. I don't know, man.
He looked better this week, and just like you said last week, it's easier for them to go from Hoyer to Manziel than to go from Manziel to Hoyer. But Hoyer hasn't looked that great either. So, but you know what? I don't want to talk about them again this week.
All right, so let's go to a similar situation because you were blowing me up on text messages or something about this. You like Teddy Bridgewater. You like what you've seen out of him. Castle got the start, but what I've seen from Bridgewater so far has not been great. But you seem
No, he hasn't been great, but all we've talked about was has been Menzel the whole freaking time. And I wanted to touch on the other rookie quarterbacks who actually are playing well. Not great. They're playing well. We talked about Blake Bortles, who looks like he's going to be a starter in this league very soon.
He looks good.
I mean, he looks good. I hadn't seen Bridgewater play a lot, but, I mean, doesn't he have like a 117 passer rating in the preseason? He's driven the team down to win two games in the fourth quarter. I mean, of course it's against the third team or what have you, but he's a rookie. He's in live action. You love seeing that from a rookie quarterback being able to handle that two-minute drill in live action, don't you?
Oh, agreed, I do. I just, you know, maybe I haven't seen him recently, but everything I had been reading out of Vikings camp was that he really was off to a rocky start. Maybe he's gotten that turned around. That's fine. But, I mean, the fact that he lost to Castle, I'm fine with.
Here's Castle question. Actually hasn't looked – I mean, and Castle's been good in his career. I mean, when Brady went down, Castle took them to – well, they didn't make the playoffs.
They were 11-5.
It was a three-team tie at the top of that division. They were 11-5. So Castle's no slouch. But I'm just saying, we need to give a little bit of credit to the rookie quarterbacks that are actually playing pretty well, decent to pretty well, rather than the one who's flipping birds and all this other crap. So, you know, I just wanted to give them a little bit of credit without ignoring them again.
No, I agree. Now, this is something a lot of people have a problem with. I don't. When Bridgewater said, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with being a backup right now. I'm fine with that.
I'm completely okay with it. The guy's head is on straight. He's like, look, I didn't win the job. I want to win the job. That's my goal to win the job. But I can learn right now. What's wrong with that? What exactly is wrong with that? You know what? If he said something else, then they would call him a moody player. He thinks he should be given the job. He's this. He's that. I don't have a problem with what he said. None whatsoever.
It's being aware of the situation.
Very aware. And guess what? You've talked about this 1,000 times. Who's completely unaware of his situation?
Who? I don't know.
You know your boy Johnny. He's completely unaware that he's got a microscope on him, and he does all types of stuff. But whatever, man.
You just said I'm done talking about Johnny Manziel, and then you went right back to Johnny Manziel.
You're right. I lied. So. How about speaking of quarterbacks?
Speaking of quarterbacks,
Sam Bradford again. He got hurt again, which has been his theme since he's been a junior in college. It stinks for him, but luckily he got drafted before the last lockout, and he was the last number one overall pick to get paid like a Hall of Famer before playing a game. So he's made a ton of cash, and unfortunately for the Rams, even when he was healthy and he's been in there, he hasn't been that good. He hasn't been all that good.
No,
he hasn't been crappy. He hasn't been crappy, and he hasn't had a lot of weapons in terms of wideouts, but he doesn't make his guys any better. He hasn't been that good, and he's the number one overall pick. Aren't talking about a second, third rounder here. We're talking about a guy who was drafted to be a huge difference maker.
You know what the biggest problem is? You're almost better off if you get a Gabbert or a Ponder, and you're just like, look, this guy's a terrorist. This ain't happening. Bradford's been – just good enough that you're like, damn it, is this our guy going forward?
Right, and we can't just let him go.
I don't want to let him walk, but I don't really like him.
And plus, we've already paid him a lot of money, so we might as well take a chance and see like if he can play. But what are they going to do now?
I don't know. I will say they have this in their favor. And this is probably what they were thinking before he went down, because now it's a different situation. The Kaepernick and Dalton contracts, I think, were their way out. We'll give you some money, but I'm not giving you mega money that's going to lock, you know, Romo money that's going to lock me into you for 5 years. I'm not doing it. And that looks like that's the model for quarterbacks that we think are decent but don't love. And that's exactly what Andy Dalton is, and that's exactly what he got. So now the talk, Luther, is do they make a move? I am fine with Sean Hill as a backup. I am. I'm even fine with him starting for a bit. Am I okay with him starting an entire season? I don't know that. I mean, the last time this happened to the Rams, and I mentioned this in our group on Facebook, The last time the Rams lost their starter to an ACL injury in the preseason, it turned out all right.
Yeah, but that was an anomaly. Sean Hill might not be Kurt Warner, but tell me this. Who's the Marshall Faulk on that team? Who's the Ike Bruce on that team? Who's the Torrey Holt on that team? And I'll go even a little further. They don't even have an Isaiah Akeem on that team.
Right.
I mean, do they even have the fourth wideout from Clemson? Ricky Prohl. And they also had a kick returner from Clemson. Oh, my. I'm forgetting his name. Anyways, they don't have weapons around.
Maybe on Kaysan?
No. But what are they going to do? Are they going to try to make a play for one of the quarter backups who have been playing really well this offseason?
Including your favorite, Mark Sanchez.
Mark has been – I'm going to give him his props. Mark
has been
playing really well this offseason.
But if I'm the Eagles, I'm not just trading him because, for one, as my friend Perry says all the time, if you're going to get a pick for him, you're just going to blow the pick. So that's one way to think of it. And what are they really going to give up? I mean, is Mark Sanchez the solution? Does he wave his magic wand and all of a sudden you're out of the Sean Hill nonsense? No. You could argue that Sanchez looks pretty good because of Chip's system.
You think?
I don't know.
Looks like our guest is holding. We got Musin to call in early. I think we're going to have to cut off our talk. But before we go, I'm going to tell you, I was talking about Tony Horn, that kickoff returner from the Rams. But let's get Musin on, man. He called in early, so let's get Moose on. Moose.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up, Moose?
How we doing,
Moose,
guys?
In the house, fellas. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
We got a lot of Panther fans out here, and they were really excited to hear that you were coming on today, man. What have you been up to in your post-football days?
Well, I tell you, first of all, I'm chasing my seven kids around. That's a full-time job. But
I can imagine.
Between the wife and I, we've been delegating a few responsibilities there. But other than that, I started a little investment group, and we've been taking a look at some different opportunities to put some capital to work. And I figured, hey, worked all my life for this money, I might as well let it work for me now.
Absolutely.
Were you thinking of investing in cheap shots? Because I know a guy.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Cheap Shots Radio.
Kidding. Yeah, that's our radio show. I was just kidding. now, Moose, when you're watching today's NFL, I assume you still keep up with it. Are you drooling at these new rules, thinking of what you could have done, with now that they can't go near you?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, drooling is one way to put it. I absolutely think that the receivers have clear advantage now, both in terms of statistics and also injuries. And being able to stay healthy. But yeah, I mean, guys that are playing now, as opposed to back in the day, in my era or maybe some eras before me. Clearly should play longer, be able to make more money, and put up more stats. Absolutely.
Moose, I don't know now. You are a pretty damn physical wideout. I think you thrived off of that contact. Of course, no contact. You're kicking butt, obviously, but you thrived off of that contact. You loved press coverage when we were in practice. You loved it. So
I didn't shy away from it, Luther. I definitely invited it. When I can get a DB up and close to me, and I can put my hands on him and feel where he's at, I felt like that was a strength of my game. And, I think a lot of DBs felt like, hey, when I get a big guy, I want to press him. I want to try to slow him down at the line of scrimmage. And that was obvious. To me, that was a disadvantage for those guys because of, I could get a good release off the line of scrimmage, and then also I could turn on the jets and try to run by a guy too, and it just helped out. But I will say, Luke, I didn't shy away from the from the collisions. And back in the day, I had this old Pop Warner football coach, and he used to tell me, he said, "If you slow down, it hurts even more." you know. Dude. So if you look at a collision and you slow down, it hurts even worse. So I used to just use that and say, you know what, I'm gonna run into it instead of trying to absorb it.
I remember when I first came here, and we had in Philly, we had a couple crackback plays on the defensive end, and it was always the tight end. Came to Carolina, guess who's the first guy on the game plan to crack back on the defensive end? Not the tight ends, not the H-back, Moussin. I'm like, what are they doing? They got a wideout cracking them. And Moose would crush them every single time. We got a kick out of that. We got a kick out of that in the film room.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story about that. You know, it usually had positive results, you know, when I did the crackbacks, Luther. But we were playing against Atlanta one year, and Cornelius Bennett was the defensive end or outside linebacker. They ran a 3-4 defense, so he was the outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. And as I went down in the motion to crack on him, he clearly wasn't paying attention. And I tell you, I must have lifted him off of his feet where his head hit the ground before his shoes did, right? Just completely cleaned his clock. And we had offensive coordinator Dan Henning, and he used to just run the same play over and over and over again. Like, oh, well, you know, if it worked, I'm going to run it again, and you got to, you know, I'm going to run it until you stop me. So I line up the very next play. It's the same call. And here I go in short motion, and Cornelius Bennett just turned and looked at me. And we stared eye to eye. And as I came down in motion, man, the thought of my coach telling me, hey, don't slow down. You got to run into it. Well, the results were a little bit different, my man. Biscuit just let me have it, man. And Cornelius Bennett just let me have it, man. And I tell you, he just lifted me up off the ground. He returned the favor to me.
I tell you what. If you knock a defensive guy out like that nowadays, you would get fined about $30,000.
Those days are now gone. I tell you, you can't do it like you used to. And, you know, careers will be longer. I think that, just a certain toughness that you used to play the game with back when I was coming up. And now it's more about finesse, and it's not as physical a game as it used to be. And, you know, you do see a lot more injuries. You see a lot more concussions. You see a lot more, collision-type injuries, be it MCLs, or ACLs, and knee injuries, or ankles, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, it's weird.
And I just say, you know what, they just don't make them like they used to. Because I played 14 years of running up in the box with receiver pads on, and my shoulders are feeling just fine. So I don't know what it is. They just don't make them like they used to, Luther.
Right.
Well, you always prided yourself on your blocking, right? I mean, you always considered yourself the best blocking wide receiver in football.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think for me, I wanted to, when people talked about number 87 for the Panthers or Bears, I played with the Bears too, but when people talked about number 87, I wanted to bring something to the game that was a little bit different. And, you know, I think that's what every player wants to do, is be known for something. And I wanted my game to be well-rounded. I wanted to be a guy who blocked well, caught balls well, and ran after the catch, and you know, make the big plays, the short plays, the tough catches. I wanted to just have a complete, well-rounded game. And so, you know, in order to do that, you know, you don't take a play off. And blocking was a part of my game. I mean, I was always coached to never take a play off. And if you ever watch a player play an entire game, they will take one play off. And so, if you don't take that play off, then more than likely, you're going to win off more often than not. And I wanted to always be a player that that was just well-rounded.
Awesome. We're talking to Musin Muhammad, former Carolina Panther, Chicago Bear. We have to go to break. Musin, can you stick around?
Well, I might lose you guys, but I'll stick around for maybe a couple more minutes. Is that all right?
Yeah, all right, we'll keep Musin as long as until we lose him. We will be back on the other side. This is Cheap Shots.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports. Lockdown Coverage.
Get ready to talk sports with the big guys. Tune in to Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis every Tuesday for the inside and outside of the business of sports. Keith and his guests will provide expert commentary and answer all of your burning questions about your favorite team, the players, and what's next. It's time to have fun with the game. Listen for Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis and his favorite co-hosts every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The talk doesn't get any hotter.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience. So he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time. Get ready for an unpredictable, fun, and sometimes sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're on Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. Get in on the shots by giving us a call now at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or tweet us now at hashtag Cheap Shots. Now, back to the show.
All right, we are back here on Cheap Shots. We were talking to Musin Muhammad, former Carolina Panther, Chicago Bear. We kind of lost him during the break, so we'll have to just catch up with. We had a lot to talk to him about. We'll just have to catch up with him, Luther, when he's able to come back on. We'll have him back on at some point. So give us a call, 888-346-9144. 888-346-9144. Give us a shout. We'll be talking about pretty much whatever you want. Luther can't stay on topic, so it doesn't matter.
Whatever. I mean, we were talking about the quarterback situation before Moose came in. And that, by the way, that was pretty cool to have Moose on.
Absolutely.
He was one of the most consistent guys I've ever played with. He worked extremely hard every single day. And when you talk about a guy who doesn't or didn't take a playoff, that's the guy. Physical, tough, with speed, and really professional teammate to have. He taught a lot of young guys how to be a pro.
Oh, I could imagine he'd be a great mentor as a young player. He still has the record for the longest touchdown reception in Super Bowl history.
Super Bowl history.
85 yards. How long was Kenny King's? Was it 80?
80 yards, Kenny okay. King.
But it's funny that Musin Muhammad would have that record, because you don't think of him as the big play guy.
No, you don't. You always thought of Steve Smith as a big play guy.
But right.
Those two guys were a very underrated duo. Very underrated. Because Steve was just coming into his own, and Moose was a quiet star there. And, you know, it was Carolina. Nobody's really paying us attention. And I remember him being on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and he was saying he had his fingers in front of his face mask, and the headlines was, "The secret is out. Carolina is for real," because nobody really paid attention to him, because the year they went to the Super Bowl, it was 2 years removed from that 1-15 debacle
right.
with George Seifert. They were one. We were 1-15. I was on that team. We were 1-15.
You got blamed for a lot of that.
I sucked, as well as George Seifert. But that's another story. And then Seifert got bought out. Jerry Richardson was happy to pay him to leave. And 2 years later, Foxy had them in the Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl.
It's impressive.
Winnable game, too. Impressive.
It was a winnable. That Super Bowl, the first half, and I've always said this, the Super Bowl to me is a game. It's two games between that. You have 45 minutes off. Any momentum is just like completely cut off. That game was a dog in the first half.
It was
like nothing or 3-3 at the half. And then it was an absolute shootout in the second half. John Casey didn't do him any favors kicking that ball out of bounds, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. It sucks. I'm a huge John Casey fan. That I felt for him.
Oh, agreed. Yeah, that was the game. That was right. The game after they embarrassed. It was the most embarrassing 14-3 loss that I can think of when they went into Philadelphia. It was bad news.
Man, I remember that game. I still lived in Jersey, and McNabb called me up like Sunday morning. It was like, hey, I got 2 extra tickets if you want to go to the game. So I was like, oh, absolutely. So I called one of my friends, and she was like, all right, cool, let's go. And it's freezing out, and I'm like, whatever, let's go. So we get to the stadium, and I pick up the tickets from Will Call, and I turn around, and I just can't go in. One, I was not that far removed from being done playing football. Right. And those are my 2 former teams, and the starting tight ends for both teams I had either split time with or played ahead of at some point in my career, and I just couldn't go. I mean, I was happy for them, but I was like, God, this sucks, because I could probably still be playing and possibly be on one of these teams. So
that's what bothered you? It wasn't that one of these teams is going to have to lose and you have friends on both teams. It bothered you because you weren't playing.
It bothered me because I was so not being egomaniacal. I was so closely removed from playing football, right, and those were the 2 teams I played for. So it was like I could have possibly been on one of these teams, and then I had close friends on both teams. I had played for both teams very recently, and I got tickets from McNabb, and I've always been Eagles 1A, Panthers 1B, and I'm like, who do I root for? I couldn't go. And I turned around, and before I even said I want to get rid of my tickets, I had people bombarding me like 200, 300, 400, 500. I mean, it was like they were bidding for the tickets. And I was like, look, dude, I didn't want to go. And the young lady I was with didn't care one way or the other because she was cold. She wasn't a huge football fan. She was like, I don't care. We can go watch it at home. So I left. And the Eagles lost, and it was miserable in that city that night. Miserable.
It was. It was the 3rd one in a row. There was no Westbrook. I don't know how many people remember that. That really hurt the offense, even though actually they ran the ball pretty well. It was when they tried to pass it that they got into trouble. That mm-hmm. game really led to them getting T.O. It was like, yep, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. Ricky Manning Jr. absolutely had his way with them. Ricky Manning yep. Jr., not Deion Sanders.
Yep, Ricky Manning freaking Jr.
That was a tough one. Then you had I don't know if you remember, was it Deshaun Foster's touchdown where they just ran over Mark Simoneaux and he ran through about 7 defenders? That hurt. Moose's touchdown, he had the first touchdown. I remember Dawkins was covering him. Mm-hmm. And he threw him like 6 yards off of him. He caught it. He was pretty much all by himself. But whatever. What are you going to do? Water under the bridge, right?
Yeah, I guess. Not for Philly fans, because they thought that was their chance to win the thing that year. But
that really wasn't one of their better teams. I mean, they had to have 4th and 26 happen to even get there.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that wasn't one of their better teams, though. 4th and 26 was an anomaly. They probably should have lost that game, but I thought they were pretty good. They Westbrook being hurt really, really, really hurt them. Yes, but I guess the Panthers proved that they were no joke that year. And
The Panthers had a good team, absolutely. And you know what, Luther, there's something I want to ask you about. Because I don't think people think of it like this. You know, the average fan looks at football, this guy's good, this guy sucks, we cut this guy, so what? But this is their livelihood, and I think a lot of people have learned that more by seeing, like, Hard Knocks, where you can see the actual guys, and they have families, and they have lives. We had the first hatchet come down this week. Teams had to get down to, what, 75 this week?
Yes.
So, but the thing is, and I wanted to ask you what this is like, especially earlier in your career. You make cut down day. Let's say that even final cuts. But you, in the back of your head as a player, are you still thinking, if a guard gets hurt, I could be cut because they're going to have to
get absolutely.
So when do you get comfortable? Do you ever get comfortable?
You never get comfortable. If you're a guy like me, who was a backup tight end, you could be gone at any day. I was never comfortable. I knew every day I was playing for my job. As soon as someone got hurt, I knew that I was probably going, I was probably, what, it was 53-man roster? I think I was number 53 on that roster. I knew as soon as someone got hurt that wasn't out for the season and we didn't have to put them on injured reserve, I knew I was that guy who was going to get put on the practice squad, possibly. So, you know.
Well, hey, look, let's go to the phones. Let's go to the phones. We got Brian from Phoenix. Brian, what's happening, buddy? You're on Cheap Shots.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
Not much. Just chilling.
Hey, you guys got a faithful listener now. This is my second time calling in 2 weeks. So
yeah, we love it.
Awesome.
Hey, I'm calling to talk about something that's kind of in the news. I read in today's paper or today online that the Washington Post is refusing to use the word Redskins when referring to the Washington Redskins. I was wondering what you guys' take is on the team name and whatnot, if it's PC or not PC or whatever.
I'll go first. To me, if a group of people says it's offensive, it's offensive. So to me, I mean, you can't tell somebody else what's offensive. That's what bothers me when people say, oh, it's not a big deal. You're a white male. What do you know about what's offensive? What was it, Mike Ditka saying, oh, stop it, everyone in the PC police. These people are saying I'm offended by it. So to me, I think at some point they're going to have to change the name. Now, as to your reference to the Washington Post not using the term Redskins, that's fine, whatever your decision. I have a website, offtherecordsports.com. I write about stuff every day. I still use it. And even if I think it's they shouldn't have it, I still use it because that's the name. And that's just what it is. Peter King was the first guy I heard about doing this, that he's like, I refuse to type the word Redskins. And if people want to do that, I guess that's fine. At some point, I would think that would force a name change if everyone refused to say it. Luther, yeah, what do you?
I don't know. I don't know about this. It's if someone is saying that it's offensive, if there's some Native Americans that are saying it's offensive, just like you said, then it's offensive. You have to at least think about changing the name. But why has it become such a huge issue now? I'm not saying I agree or disagree with anything. I'm saying, why is it such a huge issue now?
Because the voice is bigger. We have the internet. We have the social media. So the people that are clamoring for it, they have a bigger platform with which to spread the word. Whereas before you had newspaper, TV, and radio. Well, now you have blogs and internet and, you know, Facebook and Twitter. And so you can make, if you want to make a stink about something, you can make a bigger one now.
Yeah,
I'm all for changing it. I just think for the other reasons in that it's not a really fitting name. I mean, it's like the Lakers. There's no lakes in L.A. or there's no Jets in Utah. We call them that. Call them the Washington Generals or Senators or Crooks or something. It doesn't fit. That's my only beef with the name.
No, that's funny.
It's not a huge Native American area, is that you're saying?
Well, I don't know. I'm not saying there's no Native Americans in Washington or Washington, D.C. I'm just saying the name doesn't really – when I think of Washington, D.C., I think of George Washington and the Declaration of Independence and the President of the United States. I don't really think about Native Americans.
Then it's settled. They're the Washington Obamas. It's done. No,
and now no one would like the team. You would have all types of political crap going on, and we don't talk politics on this show.
All right, you raise a great point. It's a great call, Brian. Thanks for the call. And call us every week. We don't care. We enjoy it. We love it.
We love it.
You know, it is. It's an interesting topic. Snyder has dug his heels in on this.
Yeah, that's what's weird to me. It's like he's like no. He's like hell no, and it's whatever. It's no. That's it. Like Snyder, you're not going to even think about it. He's like no. So
well, you in theory you would make more money by changing the name. That's all new gear that people are going to go buy.
All new gear that people are gonna buy. Even the long-standing fans who are standing behind the name, eventually they're gonna buy new gear.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see how it goes. Just because, like I said, Snyder has just dug his heels in, and has just said, "No, I'm not doing it." And he's an arrogant
prick.
You know what? So I don't know that I could see him. I don't know. I think he's going to have to be forced to do it. And I don't know who's going to have that ability.
But who's going to have the authority to force him to change his name?
That's what I'm saying. It would have to be the NFL, right? Congress can't do that unless they threatened to take away the antitrust, which they seem to like to do when anything arises that they can't control.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what's going to happen about that, dude. That's a really, really good question. I don't have a good answer for him. I talk a lot.
Washington Post not saying the name. You know, Luther, that could be it. That could, if every single newspaper and media outlet refused to say the name, wouldn't you have to do something at some point?
Yeah. I guess he's so stubborn. I think he's so stubborn and he's so arrogant and he's made so much money that he will never change it. He's not going to be he's not going to come back on his word. He's already said he's not going to change it, and he's not.
So he'll have to be forced to one way or another. That's the only way it's going to change, because he's not doing it. Staying in Washington, did you hear Joe Theismann's comments?
I heard Joe Theismann's comment, and I don't think he's telling a lie.
No, but here's the issue. The preseason games for the Redskins, he's in-house announcer. So we'd prefer you didn't stir the pot, Joe. So he said, basically, if you didn't hear it, with regards to RG3 and Kirk Cousins, he said if it was a competition, it's not a competition, because Kirk Cousins has outplayed him. He's just flat out outplayed him, and that's the truth. And that's like Theismann said, your eyes could tell you that.
It's the absolute truth. We're not blind. We're not stupid. It's the absolute truth. But guess what? They've invested too much in RG3 to replace him as the quarterback. It's not gonna happen.
To say we invested a lot, but we have to move on,
dude? It's not gonna happen anytime soon.
It's not happening.
They may as well trade Kirk Cousins. And speaking of trading your quarterback, we need to get back to the topic we were covering earlier with the Rams. Do the Rams make a move for either Kirk Cousins or Mark Sanchez? And I'm hearing the Eagles are locked into Sanchez, and they're not letting him go unless they get a coup.
And I'm fine with that. Don't you feel like there's a chance Foles is going to miss two games this year, let's say?
There's a chance, and you know what? The Eagles are going to do nothing but screw up the pick anyways.
So if you're trading Sanchez, it's only for a player. You know what? Hey, if Michael Sam's going to keep rushing the passer like that, I'll take him. Eagles have no pass rush, and the Rams are deep. Do you think they would give up Robert Quinn for Sanchez?
You know what? That might be a good idea. If you're full, that's an awesome idea, awesome thought. And you're kind of a fool. And I mean, that's very, very awesome wishful thinking. Not gonna happen.
I'd say it can't hurt to ask.
It can't hurt to ask. They can laugh. They can laugh their asses off when we ask for it, and it'll be funny. They can always say, "You know, I was just kidding." But that's like having a cute girl in your class, and you make this joke about you guys going to hang out afterwards, and she tells you hell no, and you're like, "You know, I'm just joking. I'm dating Sonya." Meanwhile, you're like, "Oh gosh, she just completely dissed me." You might as well ask, right? There's only one way to find out.
Howie Roseman really called Devaney and asked him that with a straight face?
That would be hilarious.
I want a copy of that phone call just to hear how it goes. Maybe
I want to hear how funny they laugh at it. I mean, come on.
Just hang up the phone.
Dude, you can't make any shots if you don't take the shots.
Yeah, right.
You just can't.
So Robert Quinn's coming to Philly. Put it in stone.
For Sanchez. Luther,
we have to take another break. We have to pay some bills here. So we will be back on the other side, taking your calls, talking more nonsense, or whatever it is we do here that we don't even know. So we will see you on the other side. This is Cheap Shots.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports. The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're on Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. Get in on the shots by giving us a call now at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or tweet us now at hashtag Cheap Shots. Now, back to the show.
Back to the Cheap Shots. Dude, just got a tremendous... I got a call just now.
Okay.
Wow. Just got a call from the Panthers. They want us to do their pregame. They want us to do their show next week. They want us to do their games next week.
Right.
Yeah. No, seriously.
What are you talking about?
They want us to do their play-by-play for the game next
You're
week.
You're right. Why, you don't like who they have now?
No, I'm kidding.
Why would they have us do play-by-play? It doesn't even make sense. So did you see... Did you see the Buccaneers brought in Richie Incognito?
Free Richie.
I don't think he's been. He may have been approved now, but I mean reinstated now.
He has been.
He has been reinstated.
Going on the bottom line.
So to me, Luther, because on one hand you could look and say, well, this guy created a lot of problems in the locker room, and why would you want to add that? Wouldn't you think that he's the least likely person in the world to create problems in the locker room
he's
at this point?
Absolutely the least likely guy to create a problem in the locker room. And secondly,
he's not ball breaking. He's not nothing.
He's not doing a thing. And you look at that story and read it and read between the lines, it looks like that was kind of a two-way street, that situation, that friendship.
So, well, what Jonathan Martin said in like letters to his mom that were – I don't know how that stuff got released – but that he doesn't know how to not go along with it. So he's constantly going along with it. And now, in fairness to Incognito, which I really don't want to be fair to the guy because I've heard not just this story. He's a horse's backside.
Yeah.
But if you're Incognito, if he's going along with it, you don't really know the damage you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. So because if I'm totally busting your balls, right, and I'm making wife jokes.
Which Luther does. Go ahead.
Lindsay's listening. way to let the cat out of the bag. But if I'm making all these wife jokes, right, and I'm getting really raunchy, like I've heard some guys who are friends, they do it and it's funny as hell to me, but it's like, oh, this is completely uncomfortable, but it's their relationship. So what if I'm doing this to you, right, and you're laughing it off and you're trying to snap back at me with some jokes, but meanwhile you're just boiling on the inside. I'm not going to stop because you're laughing and making jokes back to me. So meanwhile, the next time I see you punch me in the nose like ridiculous, broken nose, bloody nose, because you can't take it anymore. And I guess that's what happened with Martin. He just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's not cut out to be in an NFL locker room. I'm sure from what we heard, I mean, that's Luther, you tell us. You were in locker rooms. Yes, there's ball breaking and things that go on. Did you ever see anything like that get that bad?
But how bad was it? I don't know. It was kind of like between him and Richie. They were like friends. They were texting each other this type of stuff.
Right.
If you, it's like, I don't know the whole situation. Yeah, it's if you call that bad, I guess it did get that bad. We joked on each other. It was like a family. You said stuff that you wouldn't say normally to other people. You would make stupid jokes. You're fat. Your wife's hair is crappy. Like, I don't know. You say stuff that you would say to someone.
And she just got a new haircut. She's not going to take that well at all.
Oh, I hadn't seen it. But you say stuff that you wouldn't say unless you're close to a guy, because you already know them and you know they know you're kidding. And you kind of know it's not hurtful. Man, some of the things like my closest friend said to me, it's like, if it was serious, it was like, wow, did you really just say that to me? But I know he's kidding. And now I'm in my demented brain trying to think of something terrible to say back to him. So, yeah, kind of, but, you know.
Well, look, especially as guys, you have your close friends that – I mean, I have friends that we go out of our way to see who can be the most inappropriate, just, you know, the nastiest, the most just inappropriate jokes you can make to one another. But that's within our circle. That stays there. I have a friend who finds pictures of rhinos and beached whales and sends them to me saying it's my mother. But he does it. It's hilarious. My mom thinks it's funny
as well.
But he's very creative about it, so I can't stop laughing. But on the surface, dude, you can't be saying that about somebody's mom. But that's what we do. We try and offend each other.
That's terrible. Yeah,
so I'll send you some of the emails.
Oh my god.
So it's tough when an outsider comes in and looks at how two people talk to one another and tries to say that's not right.
You said it better than I could have said it. If you're an outsider, you're coming in. You can't tell me how inappropriate this is. You don't know our relationship. You just don't know our relationship. So now you have these outsiders reading all these transcripts. It's like, oh my god, I can't believe he said that, and I can't believe he said that. Well, yeah, he said it. We're friends. We say this type stuff. We do it all the time.
And for the record, my mom is not a big woman. I want to make that clear. My mom is in very good shape. She's a beautiful woman. So go ahead.
She is.
So that makes the rhino and whale jokes not appropriate. So it's not right, because if she was really big, then that would be mean, and I'd be upset.
You'd cry.
So moving on, Luther. Luther, is this working in New York? Offense working in New York?
Wait, let's go back.
I want to talk about the Giants.
How did we get to that conversation?
Inappropriate jokes between Incognito and Jonathan Martin.
Oh, my God.
So then, do you have any other inappropriate joke examples you can give us?
We need new friends. Let's just talk about the Giants.
It's bad, man. It is bad up in New York.
The starters are playing this week, apparently.
I think I'm fine with that. And you know what, Luther, this is too, because we got in this big old debate about, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? And everyone said, well, he's got two championships. To me, isn't a Hall of Famer a guy that no matter what you got going on, and you look at the Patriots, he had no one to throw to last year. No one. He found a way to get to the AFC Championship game because they have Brady. Eli's not that guy. He's not a guy that, well, we've got Eli. No. He needs a lot around him, and I don't know that he has a lot around him right now, and that offense looks putrid. It's terrible.
What's with that offense? That's one of the worst looking West Coast offenses I've seen.
Mr. Ben McAdoo.
That's incredible. It's incredible bad.
Are they the worst team in the division?
Right now, they're the worst. I don't know, though, because the Redskins are going to start RG3, and he looks like crap. He looks bad.
So you took your time and you used the right word, knowing that we have 9-year-olds that listen. I know, because they call the show.
They call the show. I mean, dude, the Redskins look bad. I never trust in Coughlin to always find a way to turn things around.
Right.
Because he's proven he can. Mm-hmm. I don't know Jay Gruden. I don't know if he can get RG3 right. Do you see him chucking so many balls off of his back foot and kind of looking like a jump pass when no pressure's in the pocket? It's just weird. It's like he's digressed. I mean, regressed.
Regress, yeah.
Damn, I just said digress. Wow. It looks like he regressed. So I don't know.
It's a bad division. It is a bad division. Speaking of a good division, though, Luther, is the NFC West. And the Seahawks, I don't know if you saw this, the Seahawks just got hit. And I have a friend calling me. You know I'm on the radio. Why are you calling me? The Seahawks just got hit. Between the Seahawks and Pete Carroll are paying $300,000 for illegal OTAs.
Ooh.
I guess they were hitting a little too much. But if you look at it,
you're buying a football team for hitting a little bit too much in shorts. For hitting a little bit too much in shorts. Give me a break.
But isn't this the same theory, Luther, that they employed to get to the Super Bowl with their defensive backs, which is we're going to rough you up.
Their defensive backs are good. They're aggressive. They play within the rules. Aggressive. But look at other teams who didn't win the Super Bowl. You had other teams with good defensive backs that play physical. Look at the Cardinals. They play physical. They hit back there.
But Luther, they came out and said it. They came out and said, we're going to rough you up as much as possible, knowing they're not going to call pass interference on every single play.
Oh, and that's fine. So so call pass interference on every single play. They played within the rules. They played within the rules and how the game was being officiated. And they won that way.
Okay,
they
didn't fine. I'm not knocking illegal. Them. I'm not knocking them for doing that. I'm saying this is kind of the same theory that, all right, we're going to just push the envelope of the rules. So $300,000. They got work in. Maybe that work really benefited them.
Everybody else practices hard during the offseason. Someone on the team reported them, and the NFL slapped them on the wrist with a $300,000 fine. That's like fining me a dollar. It's not going to hurt me. That's like fining me a buck. It's not going to hurt me all that much.
No, I hear you. I think it's kind of ridiculous that's supposed to be like, hey, guys, we have to really watch
what
we
do. Yeah, like that's supposed to hurt them. Hey,
they
guys,
did lose two OTAs, though, Luther. They lost two OTA
practices. Oh, they lost two practices. Well, fine then. It's less of a chance for us to get a $300,000 fine for blocking too hard in shorts, for playing basketball too hard. That's basically what practice in shorts is, playing rough basketball. That's what they got fined for. Dude, they can't have two-a-days anymore. They can't hit real hard. If you hit someone real hard and they get knocked out, you get in trouble. You get a massive fine. You can't do anything anymore. And it's just not football. It's not really football. They're trying to legislate the game. The tipping point, I don't know what the tipping point is. The NFL trying to legislate hitting out of the game. I mean, those same hits that they used on highlight films, they are they're fining people for now.
So where does it end? Because Luther, you hear all the fans that complain, this isn't football anymore and I'm not watching it, and they sit their ass right in front of the television every Sunday.
We're not going to stop
watching. I'm not going anywhere.
Exactly.
All those flags, you know how intolerable it is to watch with all those flags? I know you know.
I tell you
what. I'm not going anywhere.
If that keeps going, you're going to have some people that flip the TV. I don't know how much, but with the flags, the way it's been this preseason and legislating the game ridiculously, you're going to get some people that's going to change the TV. They're going to change the channel.
You're going to lose the casual fan, and that's when you're going to start to see your market share decline, because the casual fan is what makes you money. The hardcores are always going to be there.
Are always going to be there.
Luther, you and I are going to – we're going to watch if they're playing in skirts. We're going to watch. It doesn't matter.
Well, casual fans
–
ladies
in
skirts. Absolutely.
Ladies in skirts.
Yeah, that's what she said. That's what he said.
So But that's where they're going to start to feel it if they start to lose that casual fan. I still don't see them being close to losing the casual fan. I don't.
No, it's not close, but it's going to get there if it keeps getting – it's getting progressively worse. It's not slowly getting worse. It's getting progressively worse. I'm sorry, but the Merriweather hit, he looks like he came in there, turned his shoulder, the receiver kind of bent down a bit, and he knocked him out. He got knocked out. His reputation precedes him.
Right.
His reputation does precede him, but you're telling me that I should let some of these players go on these bang bang hits. I should not make this play because one, I'm probably going to get fined a lot of money or suspended, and I'm also going to cost my team 15 yards. I might let him go. I might tackle him. I might miss him. People always say, well, learn how to tackle. You're running full speed from one direction. This guy's about to catch a ball, and you're just trying to get a hit on him. You can't always form tackle that way in a bang-bang situation. I feel bad for some of these guys, and some of these guys are dirty. You know, they don't know how to hit. They headhunt. But I feel bad for the majority of the guys because they're finding guys for normal big hits.
Yeah, if you drill somebody, if you drill somebody and it looks bad, you're getting called.
You're getting called.
It's not helmet to helmet. It doesn't matter. If you pop somebody, like NFL Films highlight video pop somebody, you're getting called.
You're getting called.
It doesn't matter. You know if it's a call, it's just watching it. If you go, ooh, you're getting called.
Exactly. You know it. You know it.
But anyway, by
the
way,
I have a fantasy draft that starts in 2 minutes. I have the fourth pick. It's a PPR league. Who do I take?
I'm going Forte, I think.
I think I'm going Forte as well.
I think you're going with Forte. But
absolutely going to
But we have a fantasy draft next week when we come off of our suspension because we got suspended again. ESPN suspended us, which is weird because we don't even work for ESPN.
Dickheads.
But so we're off for another week until next Tuesday. We'll serve our suspension. And we want to thank everybody for joining us. We want to thank Nusim Muhammad for coming on. I want to thank Luther Broughton for being awesome.
And
look, we will do it again next week. Thanks everybody for joining. Thanks for calling in. We'll see you next week on Cheap Shots.
Thanks for being part of the show. Luther and Micah will be here for another edition of Cheap Shots next week. Remember to catch us live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. in the West and 7 p.m. in the East on the Voice America Sports Channel. Let's talk again soon.